Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
It is Two Live Jew. Where's your fader? There we go.
Hey.
Hey.
You good?
Yes. Sorry, I'm rushing things.
No, I like it. I like a sense of urgency. You got to get out of here early today.
Yeah, and I feel bad because, well, the reason why is my father is coming into town.
Awesome.
Yeah, which I'm excited about, but I just feel like there's a lot of preparation. And not so much pressure that he puts on me, but pressure that I put on myself. Because whenever I would come home, because I haven't lived at home since I was 18, with the exception of like maybe a year and a half in, you know, in the last 15 years or so.
How old were you when you were back home?
What do you mean? What, the last time I was home?
I thought you said like you haven't lived with your parents since, and then you said there was a year and a half.
Yeah, so I moved out when I was 18, went to college, and then there was maybe like 2 months I came back, and then I went traveling for a year and a half, and then I came back and I was home for about a year and a half, and that's when my parents decided to get divorced. So that was great being in the home. Great timing. Thanks. Appreciate it. So that was traumatizing, and then I was, oddly enough, very happy and excited to move to Detroit, Michigan. Not so much because it's a vacation destination, but more so just to get out of the line of fire, because being in that environment, I wasn't doing well, but nobody was doing well, and that's okay.
What was the job? What job did you have in Detroit? Was it at a radio station?
No, dude. I was going a completely different direction. I was going to immerse myself into the world of academia. I was going to get a master's degree in evolutionary psychology. So I was in Detroit for grad school.
I had no fucking idea. And yeah. then what happened? Because I fucking hated it. So I know that when I was working at Cox Media Group, I think it was Shark at the time. I'm sure you will admit to this. You were very, very, persistent.
Yeah.
Persistent with trying to get hired. I know that you were doing a podcast at the time.
Yeah.
The Sex I'm Not Having.
Correct. Yeah.
So I know you told me the story a long time ago, but how did you get into that when you were in Detroit? Because you weren't having sex?
Yeah, I certainly wasn't having sex. I really thought I was going to be a slut after I lost my virginity. I was really hoping for that. I thought something would click in my brain, and I would make sex less of a big deal. That's what I was really hoping for with the loss of my virginity, was that, like, I put sex on a pedestal. You know, like the 40-year-old virgin, they make jokes about that.
Yeah.
And I did, and I thought, okay, well, once I just lose the V card, then I'll be free to just view sex the way that everybody else does in my generation, which is, it's no big deal. You don't have to know their last name. It's funny. One night stands are hilarious. You're drunk. Maybe you pee in their bed. That would happen a lot to people I knew in college. And I was just like hoping that that would be me. Not that I wanted to be a slut, but I just wanted to be normal. I felt like I was always an outlier in some regard.
And you never got those urges?
No, I was afraid of sex. I was an early bloomer to the puberty game, which is not great when you got, you know, quote, giant tits in fifth grade. That's not like a cute look.
Is that you?
I mean, they were the same size they are now. So on a 36-year-old grown woman, everyone makes fun of me that I have small breasts. But when you're like 9 and a half, 10, these are considered jugs, okay?
I'm not imagining you as, you know, 9 or 10, but I'll take your word for it.
Yeah,
man.
I was probably like 11. I got my period when I was 11, so it was like a touch before everybody else.
This is stuff I haven't even thought about with my
daughter
yet.
Dude, it's fucking horrible. Everyone, I don't know. I guess everyone wishes they were something else. Like the girls who were 15 that didn't get their period were, you know, yearning for it. But when you're like 10 or 11 and you And you get, you're a fucking kid. And now I just felt like I had to just grow up. I couldn't play with dolls anymore. It was honestly like one of the worst times of my life was puberty. I just felt so odd. Nobody else around me had it. All of a sudden, I was counting days and bringing pads. And I was scared of tampons because they teach you about toxic shock syndrome. So I'm like, oh, well, I don't want to die of that.
Is that where if you put it in the wrong place or something?
No, it's not what you like, put in your ass. It's, you put a tampon and you just forget about it, and then your old blood poisons you and you fucking get septic and die.
Shut the fuck
up. I'm not kidding.
How do you forget that's there?
Right. And so like in fifth grade, they're like, hey, tampons are an option for you, you know, during sex ed. But be careful because if you leave it in too long, you could fucking die because they have to tell you these things. So I'm like, well, fuck, I don't want to plug myself up. I'm not using those. So then, you know, you're walking around with a diaper 6 days out of the week or out of the month, which sucks. So
I tell you,
puberty was bad.
Every time we do this show, it's always something new, Anna. There's always another little layer to peel back, you know?
Right. I mean, I don't really talk too much during the main show when you guys are talking about, you know, Ashani Kataki and sports and cards and stuff, which is fine. And I'm honestly not talking shit or anything. So I it's all bottled up. So then during the after show, I just go crazy.
Yeah, no. I mean,
I go crazy.
It's great.
I need to get it out.
I mean, I'm wondering if we talked about this stuff during the regular show, what Bubba would think about you.
Well, here's the thing. You know, it's hard to bring this stuff up when no one asks you. You know what I mean? I mean, me and Lummy, I'm not going to drag Lummy into this, even though I clearly just did, but we had this, like, it's not even like a running joke, but we exchange glances when Bubba would open the show often on a Monday morning and go, Lummy, how was your weekend? Like, he doesn't even take a breath to let Lummy respond before he starts talking about his own weekend. And Lummy and I just kind of look at each other and we smirk, which is because it's funny.
Yeah.
It's, you know, he's just like, Lummy. And Lummy will like breathe in to say something. And then Bubba's off to the races talking about, you know, the track, seeing Janie Cakes, going to bed at fucking 3 p.m. and being thrown off by daylight savings time. So
absolutely.
It's just, it makes us laugh. So, you know, when no one asks you about your upbringing, your childhood, you know, he's got the basics down, you know, Israel, San Diego, Detroit, Jew. Like, that's all you need to know, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, for this job that we're in, you know, the short attention span, you know, I think that defines your character right there. So, but you know what? Anything that I hear too weird on this show, you know, I tip Bubba off.
And I know.
If it's worth bringing up on the main show, I'm sure you will.
Yeah.
Like, I threw Bubba, there is a fuck, Rhett told me. No, Brett's not mad. Rhett told me the other day that he's changing vets because the vet that he's using keeps calling Scout a boy. And he's fucking,
That's misgendering his dog?
Yeah, he's like, I get it, it's a little thing, but it bothers him. He's like, I'm going to go find a vet. So I told Bubba, I was like, dude, Rhett's going to change his vet if it's a thing. And Bubba hasn't brought it up at all.
That's really funny.
Right, I find that to be very interesting. You know, I find it interesting enough to like talk about amongst the show. You know, who else knows who quit a doctor for, you know, a weird reason. But, you know, it's just Bubba, you know, decides what he wants to talk about. And what
it's his show, man. And like, I'm here for the ride and I'm happy and honored to be here. So I don't want anyone to think I'm talking shit, but I got a lot of things to say. And,
you
know, it's hard to keep it all bottled up inside. So during the after show, I feel like I really got to let it like rip.
You and I got called out today to start the show. And I don't think that you even had anything to do with
it. No,
He was talking to me.
I know he was, yeah. But I got rope-a-doped into it, which, you know, whatever. I don't appreciate, but also like I get it. Because sometimes it's hard because the alliances are constantly changing. And I feel like he Jewed us up. You know, he was just like, hey, Seth doesn't like it. And also Anna by proxy because she's of the same ilk. I don't know.
Well,
I don't know.
I don't know when you left. Like, again, Bubba was upset because we had a meeting that Anna and I just got invited to, you know, 5:30 in the morning. And
yeah,
it was like 5:52, 5:53. Rhett goes, hey, do you need me for anything? So Rhett goes and starts working on some stuff for the show. Macho Man's in here doing his thing. You know, Lummy's running around. And I was like, all right, I'm going to go get some fresh air. You know, like, I didn't even think about anything. And then I saw to start the show, you know, it was like, hey, don't leave without asking. You know, hey, don't do, you know, don't be upset if, you know, nobody likes your idea. So I was like, I don't really think Anna was doing that at all. But so sorry for you getting roped.
Oh, no. I mean, that's not your fault. I mean, I also left the meeting without saying anything because I got the social cues that it was pretty much over. The show was about to start. Rhett had left and he was just directly talking to Lummy about a generator that you and I had nothing to do with. So I was like, okay, meeting's over. And then we left and he didn't say, hey, where the fuck are you going? You know, none of that. So I just assumed that we were good to go. But in fact, We were not. But here's the thing, though. I feel like Bubba, I mean, I don't know if this is a great analogy, but it's like I feel like I'm dating him and I'm learning his, what makes him tick. Because I'm sure, you know, you've dated other people besides your wife in the past, and some things bothered your previous partners and they don't bother your wife and vice versa. So you're kind of just like learning this person and what makes them tick, and in an intimate way that is not really the case with a lot of your friends.
But here's the thing, Anna, that I, like, you've been here for a while.
Yeah.
You've been here for, is it 3 or 4 years now?
On June 17th, I feel like Rain Man. On June 17th, it'll be 4 years.
Okay, so 4 years.
Yeah.
You should, I think you should be getting out of the getting to know you period, you know? Well, or is it just Bubba changes every day, or do you just feel like, are you just, do you change every day? Like,
No. I will explain it right now.
Okay, thank you.
The only thing predictable about Bubba is that he's wildly unpredictable. So there are so many variables. There's some things that stay constant, like he hates pickles and mayonnaise. But sometimes I can make fun of Bubba's weight and he thinks it's hilarious.
Yeah.
And other days he does not think it's hilarious and he calls me like a horse-faced bitch or something like that. And he's not happy with me. He might stand up, give me the evil eye.
Does that shit bother you? Because like when I get called...
No! I like it. I love it.
All right. What I'm meaning is, it's like I get called a snowflake, a fuckboy, yeah, a bitch, all that stuff. And, you know, I just let it go. Like, that, yeah, if that's...
You got to.
It's just like it's worn off. Like, that's just fine. I'm not going to correct Bubba. But, like, when he says it to you, has it worn off or it still hits you every time?
No. Usually... Here's the thing is, like, when I know someone is saying something to me because they're trying to hurt my feelings,
yeah,
it hurts my feelings less.
Oh, okay. That's smart. That's smart.
You know, because it's like, okay, not to say that there isn't truth to it, because listen, I have a mirror too. I've seen my face. I've seen my teeth. Like, I'm not an idiot.
You don't look, I mean, Anna, you don't look like a fucking horse.
I understand, okay, that, whatever, but like, I understand the comparison
that's
that people
compliment.
Are. I
you
thank
don't look
you.
Like a horse.
I thank you.
Yes.
I don't know if you're just trying to be nice or if we're being
Anna.
Honest here. Listen, whatever.
Can
Who cares?
I can't even
Who
tell.
Who cares?
I can't even fucking tell you that you don't look like a horse and you don't believe me? Where
that's,
are we at right
that's
now?
That's like the closest thing to a compliment I've gotten in 4 years.
I know
how to accept it.
I'm easing you into this whole thing here. You don't look like a horse. It's okay.
I appreciate it. But when someone is like intentionally trying to hurt your feelings, you know, I feel like this sounds, I feel like I am not like a second grade teacher, but it's like that says more about them than it does about you, sort of a thing.
Well,
you know, and especially when it's kind of said in an ill-spirited sort of way. Like, we're all laughing, and I'm like, you know, Brian's fucking this guy. We're fucking horse faces together, and we, like, laugh fine. But when you can tell when someone's trying to cut you down.
Yeah.
Like, it hurts less, A, and B, I mean, it hurts more in a sense because you're like, wow, they're just saying this to, like, try to get under my skin. But then I feel like there's less truth to it, A, and B, you can't give them the satisfaction of letting them know that it's bothering you. That's why I jumped out at you the other day with Chad.
Oh, you didn't jump
out. No,
it
was, listen, we both did. Like, we both could have handled it differently, whatever. But the thing is like, once you give them the satisfaction that they got under your skin, they're going to just want to do it more. So if you like, just, and I know you know this, whatever, but it, you know what, it happens to all of us. I've definitely lashed out at Chat or Bubba, which is the worst case, and sometimes it happens and it's like a flinch reflex.
Have you lashed out at Bubba?
Oh, I've said things and then I'm like, why the fuck did I say that?
But when Bubba's like calling, you know, Bubba's doing his thing and calling you names and all that stuff, like, I feel like, do you feel like it gets, that sometimes it's not part of the show, that sometimes it is trying to hurt your feelings intentionally? Because I've been on shows before, mm-hmm, where I feel like people have tried to say things to make me mad. I mean, people I work with. I'm saying, like, here, do you feel like people are doing that? Or maybe just jokes are getting lost in translation and they come across as more biting than maybe they really are?
Both.
Okay.
It depends. Usually, like, the setup to the insult, like, if I said something in a jovial way and he didn't like it that day, or I went too far, or I was being shitty myself, you know, I'm usually expecting some sort of bite back, and that's fair. That's fair. And I should just be able to take it, because I keep telling myself that, you know, a lot of this show and the things that I put myself through in my life, like jujitsu, are character-building activities. And so if you can become more resilient, even if it's by virtue of people, you know, calling you an idiot or dumb or fat or ugly or whatever the case may be, or you're just getting your ass whooped in jujitsu, you're able to just deal with shit better. And so like when you encounter another problem, or you know, you find out a friend is saying shit behind your back, I feel like you're just a more, or even it's stuck in traffic, you're just a more resilient person. And I think that that should be, you know, one of your goals, is to just be less reactive.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And I understand. And kind of what you're talking about, you know, on Monday was, I was in chat, and again, I see the stuff all the time. Like, I read multiple chat, and, you know, it's like, yeah, sometimes there's stuff that sucks, and I'll ignore it, but one guy got off a Jew thing, and I just, it was just enough, man. Like,
it was horrific. I mean,
it's just, and you hear people say this all the time, and it's normally, like, really tough guys, but this is the only, you know, everybody, like, everybody has just lost a sense of communicating with people face to face, and they say things.
They feel emboldened,
right,
online.
They say things that you would never fucking say to somebody's face,
right,
and then go, "Oh, hey man, yeah, I was just joking. Everything's a joke."
Yeah.
And so I just told that guy to fuck off. Like, that was it. It was like, tell that guy to fuck off. And you were like, "Hey, don't read chat." And I'm like, "Fuck you." I was like, "I am reading chat because I feel like it's important to do."
Yeah.
And then that got relayed in a way where I was yelling at you and stuff. And you're like, you know, just don't read it if it bothers you. So, you know, again, I don't want people like that to get me away from interacting with the people that, you know, contribute to the show, the people that are decent, you know.
Yeah.
But sometimes I just want to let off a fuck you to go, I'm watching, I'm listening, and you want to call me fat, you want to say shit, that's fine. But like, there's some things where I'm just going to have to draw a line myself.
I totally get that. And I read chat a lot more than people think, but people say like a lot of hurtful things. I usually try to turn it off during the show because otherwise my eyes wander to it. And then I'm less engaged in what we're talking about because I'm reading something else. And I don't want that to be the case.
I'm reading the whole time.
It's hard for me to multitask. Well, I think most women can do it, but I cannot. So.
Well, it's kind of why I told Bubba yesterday, and this is, you know, if you listen to the start of the show today, about an idea that Bubba didn't like.
Yeah.
Well, I talked to Bubba because someone put in the chat yesterday about, you know, adding Legos to the cash cube. And I was like, oh, that's gonna hurt. That's weird. That's not something we want to do. And then I started thinking about it yesterday. I was like, how do we up the ante, you know, if you and I go in there on a Friday, or Lummy and Dan go in there, like, what could make it like really fucking funny? And I was like, things flying at us that could hurt, where we can make noise, or, you know, something. I don't have any problem with the cash cube. I love it. But I was looking at a way to make it better. And like, I brought it to Bubba, and he's like, no. He's like, it's fine the way it is. And then I was like, there's people in chat, and I'm not going to mention their names at all, but they are people that pay money for the show. They're people that are in there every day. They're good people. They're not trolls. And so I brought up that people in chat, you know, were commenting negatively on it. And that's all. I wanted to try to do my best to, you know, make it as good of an idea as it possibly can be. And I'm fine if you don't like it at all. I just got to get out of the studio a couple of minutes before it starts and get some air, you know?
Yeah. I think if you would have prefaced it with, like, these aren't just trolls, because I assumed that you meant trolls that shit on everything that we do.
No.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, maybe if you would have said, hey, like, some heavy hitters are saying that it's kind of campy or what, you know, like something like that, he probably would have taken it better. Or, you know what? Maybe fucking not, Seth. I don't know, because I don't know who's showing up to work every day.
It's like, again, I don't have any real problem pitching ideas at all, but, like, when you get shot down that hard with that idea, it's just like, are we talking about it, or is everything just fine the way it is? So.
Yeah, I mean, I hope that doesn't deter you from throwing out ideas, because you do have a lot of great ideas. And, you know, if he doesn't take them, or even if he calls them dumb or whatever, like, you should give yourself points for trying and bringing it up. Because that's what you are. You're an ideas guy. You've said that before.
Yeah,
and
no.
So.
I mean, look, I thought I saw somebody type that we should put Legos in there. I think we should put some fucking goggles on and put some Legos in there and, you know, really fucking go to town while we're trying to grab some dollars on Friday.
Yeah.
Bubba thinks it's fine on its own. And you know what? That's his decision. But yeah, I'm not going to stop pitching ideas at all. But I'm not used, Anna, I'll be very honest.
Sure.
I'm not used to getting
shot down like that
without even a conversation.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So.
Well, I mean, I guess I'm just desensitized to it. So I'm just like, yeah, that's. But here's the thing. And if I could just speak authentically and candidly, you're treated differently than some of us other people. So, like, to me, that's not unusual if he would speak like that to me. But I can kind of see for you that that's kind of uncharted territory. So when I see that, I'm like, honestly, I'm like, that's something he would say to me. Like, I'm surprised
yeah.
he's saying it, at least saying it in that way to you.
Well, I don't know how everybody gets treated, Anna. You know, like, I don't know everybody's relationship with the sponge. Like, I don't know what it's like when people are out of here. I don't know what it's like when you guys are up at 199, you know, and I'm not there. I don't know if anybody's texted with them throughout the day. Oh, I don't know any of that stuff.
Yeah.
You know I have a good relationship with Bubba because, you know, I got a lot of stuff going on in my life. You know, he's got a lot of stuff going on. He wants to make sure that I'm in the right headspace to continue doing this show because he appreciates, you know, what I bring every single
day.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So, I mean, does he go out of his way to, you know, to cater to me? Possibly. But as far as, like, getting shot down or, you know, getting yelled at this morning for, like, walking out of the meeting and stuff like that, like, I'm not immune to that shit. Like, I'm not immune to there was another day where it was just like, just told me to shut up or something like that.
Yeah,
like,
it's surprising even to hear, directed towards you is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, I'll tell you, like, I'm not going to, it sucks sometimes. Like, people will be like, you know, just hang in there because they'll see me, like, put my head down and try to regroup when that shit
happens. That was the advice you gave to me 3.5 years ago.
Was it?
You're like, just hang in there because it was fucking bad. Yeah. It was very, very bad. Oftentimes I would confide in you after the show and be like, I just don't know if this is working out. I came from a place where it was very
like friendly and shit.
Yeah, like more corporate and not necessarily in a bad way. Like, corporate to me is good and bad. You have more protection, but you have less freedom, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, it totally does.
So, but here you have more freedom. It's more the Wild West, but then you also maybe get other things that aren't so great. But again, I'm here, right? I think it's worth it. I'd rather have the freedom and have a little bit less security and just deal with it like that.
I know that you offered to go record Bubba's fast food review yesterday.
Yeah.
And he shot it down.
Yeah.
Have you guys just ever done anything, just you and him?
I think he drove me to the bowling alley one time when we did like a team bowling activity.
Go team bowling, all right.
Yeah.
So you
saw him throw a credit card out the window. Maybe I shouldn't have said that.
Oh, no, that's interesting.
She was like, this is old. And I'm like, did you just litter? I was very upset by that.
Well, that might have been. Never mind. I have no further questions on why you guys don't hang out.
Yeah. No, it's mostly in a group. And here's the thing. I totally get that, mostly for protection for him. I don't think anything that he doesn't trust me, but also I think that it's in your best interest to play that game safely when you have when you're a male and you have a female employee. My dad plays that game really safe as a school teacher. He's almost done. He's going to retire. He has a fucking countdown, like he's counting down to Christmas or something.
When's
he's like
retiring?
29 days
of
real work.
Yeah.
In the end of May, June, around then. So I think, and my dad is always very careful these days to never be in a room alone with a female student because they could fucking say shit. Who knows?
Absolutely,
you know?
Yeah.
And Dan is very careful about that. Even when I go visit Dan for, you know, Botox, my knee, cauliflower ear, whatever the fuck is going on with me, there's always a female employee present. And I think that's just a smart protocol to have because then it becomes his word against mine. If I were to do something shitty, you know, he touched me or whatever. If you have someone else present there, I think that that's probably the best way to go. So I think that that's probably why there's maybe more of a distance between Bubba and I, and for his protection, and that's fine. And I think that's a smart way to conduct business, to
okay,
be honest.
All right.
So that's what I assume. But it could just be that he fucking hates me. He doesn't like spending time with me. And that is fair.
I just feel like there's a wall, whether it's made out of cotton balls or whether it's made out of bricks. I just feel like there's a wall there, and
yeah.
I feel like it could come down. I don't know how it comes down, Anna, because I haven't had like deep, intense conversations since I've been back about you.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
I had him before, obviously, when I was like trying to get you hired and all that shit.
Yeah.
But I haven't had any like real conversations and all that stuff. So I've told you before, like, and maybe I need to talk to Bubba. I don't think you should feel the way that you do every day. As far as like maybe feeling uncomfortable or feeling like on edge
No. I don't feel uncomfortable. I don't want it to be that way. And I certainly, here's the thing, like, if Bubba doesn't want to do the food review with me for whatever reason, and I'll like make jokes on air and like try to push him to do it. But if he, at the end of the day, if he truly doesn't want to do it for whatever reason, the last thing I want to do is like try to get you to persuade him to do something with me. Like that's like, you know, staying in a marriage that you don't want to be in because you just don't want to get divorced. Like, I want you to be with me because you want to be with me, not because someone told you to be with me. Like, that sucks.
Right.
So that's totally fine. I don't feel, listen, we're just kind of highlighting the negative aspects. But I mean, I love being on the show. It's so much fun. It's the funnest job I've ever had. Does that come with some, you know, negative things? Yeah, of course. No job is perfect. We talked about that last week or the week prior, that there's no perfect job. But if you can like it 90, 80, 70% of the time, in my book, that's a win. So
This is
a win. This is a fucking win. And if I have to be called a horse face every now and again because I got to sit here and laugh at fucking Babyface and Dr. Dan passing gas every fucking day,
man,
then that's fine. Like, I laugh. It's fun. I get to do this. I mean, this isn't... Think about, like, how people are working on roofs or sewage or going to just a boring-ass corporate job, and we got a fucking cash cube, the boob cube. I mean, that's fucking awesome.
I know.
That's part of our job, and we may get upset if we throw out an idea, like throw in Legos or ping pong balls, and he shoots it down. Who cares? We got a cash cube at work. Look at this place. It's like a sex dungeon in fucking Times Square. It's great.
Did you find a good therapist? Because you're spitting like you have you've changed your perspective on things. You're giving positive spin. I like it.
Yeah. Well, I'm just kind of like, you got to zoom out and then zoom back in. And I do that a lot in my life where I'm like, man, this sucks. That sucks. Blah, blah, blah. And I go, hold on. Let me zoom out for a second. Wait, what's going on in Yemen? Wait, what's going on in fucking Ukraine? Wait, what's going on, people in China or, you know, people in Saudi Arabia getting beheaded for some bullshit? And then I zoom back into my problems and I'm like, oh, that's right, I don't have any.
Or you just realize just like how fucking hard it is to get a job, you know, out there for some people, like the people that are struggling or trying to support their families and shit. And yeah, I mean, this is a great place to be. I just you know, for the shows that I've produced, I always just want everybody to always feel good. And I just didn't, when I worked with Drew and we had, you know, Soul Brother Kevin
the whole time, like was my whole life a lie of Drew Garabo Live when I knew it with you?
No.
And SBK and Fat Nikki. Sorry.
You're fine. was that a lie? I mean, none of us liked Kevin. Kevin didn't like us.
Ever. Okay.
And I think that, and Kevin was mad that I was talking on the show. You know, Kevin wanted to come in right away and be the co-host and wanted me to show
up. He was also a co-host, though. But he was like seat three, is that what you mean?
He was a co-host who didn't talk. And instead of not talking, he would then go to the boss and be like, I'm not talking on the air. This guy needs to shut up. So they told, like, John Brennan told me to take a back seat to Kevin. He told me that Kevin is inherently funnier because he's black, so that I do need to be.
Did he really say that?
Absolutely.
You swear to God on your life.
Absolutely. Swear to God. We were in a meeting one day that with our higher-ups that Kevin was supposed to be at, and he skipped it because Kevin was at a point in his career where he could skip meetings with the higher ups and nobody would do anything about it.
Uh-huh.
So John Brennan was talking to me kind of about my role on the air.
Just you and him, he says this, or this is in front of other people.
Drew's there. This is Keith Lawless is there.
Okay. And he says, quote,
he said, I think this is what he said before I started swearing all this. He goes, SBK and you could say the same thing, but he's going to say it funnier because he's black.
Okay.
Is that less biting, or is that the
No, I mean, the message
thing?
Still
Yeah.
Is the same.
Which is fine. Again, I at the time, I'm like, yeah, no, he's better than me, but he's got to put some effort into it. He didn't put a whole lot of effort into getting involved. You know, he just wanted Drew to bring the show to him every day. And you kind of got to get yourself involved sometimes. So that was the case. But no, I mean, when I worked with what?
I'm just like thinking of him like giving an example. He's like, see, for example, if you said like, then the cow came home, and then Kevin was like, and then the cow.
Honestly, and I'm not gonna lie, like I feel like I'm somewhat funny at times and whimsical, but at that point he made me feel like I was fucking like I couldn't say anything funny, you know, just with the way that he phrased it, which is fine. You know, he's not the greatest boss in the world, you know, his first program director job, so he's gonna say things that are fucking stupid. So yeah, but I mean, when I worked with Drew and everything, it's everybody was feeling good, man. We used to have a lot of fun in there.
Okay. Even despite the fact that, you know, maybe things weren't so smooth with Kevin.
Kevin, yeah, I don't know how long Kevin was on the show, but, you know, in my, how long did I work with Drew for?
I don't know.
Seven years. Like, it was always for the most part pretty good. The SBK was by far the worst period in the show, I think. But other than that, yeah, we worked around that pretty well.
Yeah, because when I first started, so I know this wasn't how it always was, but it's my, you know, inception point with the bone. Is I get there, it's April of 2016. The show consists of Drew, you, SBK, and I think Nikki. This was prior to Nikki leaving, because I remember when Nikki left, you guys were like interviewing the next person to come in, which at the time, you know, ended up being, quote, promo John, which is hilarious because right. Now he's like this bigwig there. But at the time, he was just promo John, and he wasn't even on the show. Maybe he would come in periodically when Nikki couldn't make it. And I definitely reached out. I don't remember to who, probably John Brennan. Possibly Drew, probably just John Brennan saying like, hey, I'm just throwing my hat in the ring, which ended up, you know, I pissed off Monica doing that. I'm sure I pissed off other people doing that. But
how did you piss off people trying to get the job?
Oh, I think it was just Monica.
Oh, okay.
and not even for that specific gig. I made a joke to her one time, and it left a bad first impression with her, and she ended up bringing it back up maybe a year or two after I was already there, and they were talking about it on Roger and JP, and I think it was the first time I ever heard someone speaking ill of me on the air, and I immediately panicked, not knowing like it doesn't fucking matter. But I when I first arrived at the Bone, it was pre-Monica, I believe, and RBF or Resting Bitch Face.
Oh, Resting Bitch Face, yeah.
She was on her way out. Like, she was maybe there 3 weeks, and then she left. So, I mean, in terms of, like, I get there, she's there for 3 more weeks and leaves.
Yeah.
So, I hear about this. My first 3 weeks at the Bone, I was just doing promo. And then I got on Johnny B's show maybe a month after my arrival. But that's not why they brought me in. I don't know what their secret plan was, but initially it was just a promo job, you know. So Monica comes in. This is after I'm working with Johnny B for like a couple weeks. And she comes in for whatever reason. And she said something about like RBF leaving. I think that was the topic of conversation. And I'm like, oh, I'm putting my hat in the ring. And she's like, you're going to have to wait in line like that. And I'm like, I was like, I don't wait in lines. Like, a total joke. Like, I was just like being so over the top with it. And I was like, I don't wait in lines. I didn't even try to get that job, but I just made a joke about it. And then she was like, that was her first impression, like meeting me, and brought it up maybe a year after I was there.
Oh,
and was
man.
Like, Onev was just absolutely so disrespectful and has no respect for hierarchy and authority. And I'm like, what the fuck?
Anyways, really fucking stupid. But I just wanted to see the details of that. That's interesting. But you know, when you are not full time at a radio station, and you know, you're not even really sure if they appreciate you or not, you're hanging on to any fucking thing you can. And I know Monica obviously got that position. I don't know if she had been board hopping for them at the time, but
oh, and they hate her.
Yeah,
they fucking hate her. It's no secret.
No.
You hear when JP? I think this is before you came back. We actually played a clip of JP walking off the show. He was like almost in tears. He was so fucking mad with her.
He walked off the show?
Yeah. Yeah. This was probably, if I were to ballpark it, 4 months ago, maybe something around, like right before you got here, maybe a month prior.
JP's a good dude, man.
He is a fucking good dude. I'm a big fan of JP.
Yeah. I when I left Cox, he was one of the few people that I met with him and, you know, he's like, man, if I have time to do a podcast right now, I'd do it with you and all this other stuff. But, you know, he sat down, listened to me, and, you know, he gives it to you straight. He doesn't bullshit or anything like that. So, he's a really good dude. I haven't talked to him in a little while, but I definitely want to, you know, sing his praises if I get the chance.
Yeah, he's great. He's great on the air. You know, I like his accent kind of helps with his whole persona.
Like the New York persona.
Yeah, just like I'm no bullshit kind of guy, you know, fucking Long Island, like bullshit, whatever.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah,
yeah, I certainly appreciated him. Monica ended up getting that gig, and they certainly butt heads, mostly because of political reasons, but not mostly. That's certainly it. But what happened was, every time JP would say something that could be interpreted as, you know, right-leaning or whatever, Monica would, like, accuse him of being a racist, a sexist, a transphobe, Islamophobe. Like, every phobe that there could be.
Boy, Bubba would love that.
Oh, my fucking God. And then they brought something up. I don't even remember what the topic of conversation was. And Monica inferred that he was, like, a sexist. It was something about a woman, and she's like, of course you don't like women speaking out because you fucking are a chauvinistic pig. Or, you know, I don't think she said those words, but that was what was implied. And he fucking lost his mind and just walked off.
Yeah, the thing I like about JP, too, is, man, he's got, he's got anxieties. You know, he's got depression.
Yeah.
You know, we talked a lot about, like, medication, all that stuff, and I think he would do a Xanax from time to time because he would tell me that he would really fucking, you know, he would really freak out at times.
Yeah, really bad social anxiety.
Yeah, and so he could get a hold of it. So for him to go sideways like that, yeah, it must have been a lot of shit going on that day.
Yeah, I think something was going on with his dad. I can't remember, but he was dealing with a lot of shit and she couldn't read the room and doesn't know when to let it go. And I'm sure people would say that same criticism about me. So I can't really say.
Speaking of a lot of shit going on, and part of the reason why I felt badly about our exchange on Monday during Hot Mic, which again, I think was actually probably entertaining for some of the people watching during.
Yeah, probably was.
At the end of the day, people love the drama. Yeah, at the end of the day, it was pretty interesting. But last week was the absolute worst fucking week of my life. You know, so
for real.
Yeah.
Or are you just like
no?
Okay, no. That's not hyperbole.
No.
Okay.
From putting my dog down on Monday.
Yeah, that's fucking rough.
To something else that you know about, Anna. You know something else that's going on in my family. I haven't talked about.
Yeah.
Something was bad with that.
Okay.
And then there was some other shit. There was financial issues.
That's a lot.
So there's financial issues, there was health issues, and there was our dog that we put down. This is in fucking 7 days here. So yeah. I couldn't even catch my breath. So so I was just like, it was a lot, and I haven't properly mourned or, you know, gotten my energy out and all that stuff. So I was a little on edge. So that's where that came from. That's why I felt bad when you can quickly realize, dude, like, I don't fucking hate on. I'm going through a lot right now. This comment set me off. Then she said something. I'm fucking set off.
Yeah.
I'm just going to keep it going, you know?
Yeah. And listen, like, I'll never hold anything against anybody. If, like, you apologize as soon as the show is over. Not that you necessarily needed to. And to be honest with you, I could have handled it better as well. Like,
I immediately became
defensive. Yeah, I have no ego about a lot of things, and I definitely know that I can do better. I'm not perfect. I'm not one of those people who says, you know, nobody's perfect, but then they never admit when they're wrong.
Yeah.
That's not me. Like, I'm opinionated. I have things to say, but if I fuck up, like, I'm more than willing to be like, yo, I could have handled that better, and I could have handled that better.
I just don't think you fucked up at all. Just so you know, I mean, and I felt... I already said this one, so we don't have to totally get into it. But yeah, I issued a public apology, a private apology.
Yeah, you're
and
fucking,
I haven't been canceled
you're fucking,
yet.
You're
so.
Fucking good, man. You're fucking good. How are you? Are you improving? Or?
Oh my God. I'm not doing.
You're handling.
I'm not doing that great.
Okay.
I'm having a really fucking hard time. I really want to fucking start working out again, and like, because I did it for so long, and I always felt so good, and I just can't take the fucking first step, like, to do anything more than like a long fucking walk or something like that in downtown St. Pete. Like, I can't do it. And I can do it, but it's bothering me that I don't have that extra motivation, and I don't like the way that I look, and I don't like the way that I feel right now.
Yeah.
And I'm also wondering, this is okay. Yeah, this is not a tough job, but, you know, the schedule is, you know, not the greatest in the world.
Listen, yeah, I don't love waking up at 4:35 in the morning.
Yeah, I mean, I was emailing.
And I'm a night owl. I don't know about you. Well, you seem like you're up at all hours of the night, but I typically like to go to bed later and my sleep suffers.
Yeah.
And people are like, wah, wah, wah. Totally right. I agree. But I'm just saying, like, it fucks with me.
Yeah, my sleep suffers at all. I'm doing now, I'm fucking sleep eating again in the middle of the night where I'm not like picking out on Reese's and shit. But I woke up this morning, there was an empty bag of trail mix next to my bed. I'm like, I don't even remember eating this shit. So.
Was it from your daughter?
No, it was mine.
Okay, okay. It's like maybe it was the snacks in bed.
No, it's definitely my snack. So I don't know. I'm those are my issues right now as we talk about, you know, getting in our heads and all that stuff. Like, I'm having a hard time, you know, tapping into the fact that. I guess I could sit there and make excuses that I'm older or I'm lacking motivation, but I want to be healthy. I want to look better. You know, I want to be here for my daughter and all that. It's just, I'm just having difficulty kind of just, you know, making that first step. I don't know how to do it or
but
what I should
do. But you're doing long walks, you said. So what's the next, what would you like to start doing?
That's on the weekends. I need to do stuff during the week.
Okay.
Physical stuff. Okay. But obviously I'm so fucking exhausted by the time I get out of here.
Yeah.
You go home, you upload the podcast, like I'm falling asleep as I'm staring at my computer.
Yeah.
Do I lay down? Do I just fucking sit on my computer for 4 hours? You know, like it's always like, what do I do? It's hard for me to be outside right now so much because of all the pollen and all that shit.
Yeah.
But I'm just trying to figure out like what is it weights? Is it my bike? Is it swimming? Like, what's going to get me to fucking get back to where I want to be?
Well, let me ask you this. I'm all about the path of least resistance, at least at the beginning, because you got to, the hardest part is getting started, like, you know.
Yes.
What would you prefer? Like, would you prefer to go on a bike ride? And I know it's hard because of the allergy situation. So would swimming be better?
I think I'm going to go to swimming, which I can do after the show.
Right.
And, you know, I'll normally go and I'll swim 20 laps at like North Shore pool and
great.
I feel fucking great, and you know, it's a whole body workout, and it's the thing where you sit in your car on a like when I'm done and I'm fucking high.
Yeah,
like,
I get that.
Yeah, like mm-hmm. I stare at my phone like I smoke weed, like I'm just sitting here, I'm like, man,
it's awesome.
I'm like, I can just sit here for fucking ever. And then like, you know, and I never can sit still or do anything like that, so I need something to get that fucking energy out, because like I said, it's kind of making me walk around not feel as good as I know that I can. So I think I'll just start fucking swimming. I'll just go up there this week, renew my membership, and just fucking do it.
Is that what was preventing you? Like, just the membership thing?
No.
Or was it just, like, you're tired?
No,
or?
I was tired.
Okay.
And I would just make excuses of, like, oh, I did 2 shows a day, or I did 3 shows, or, you know, I'm going to go on Instagram Live later and talk about cards. So, what do I need to go work out for? You know, I'm working all the time. And, like I said, that's not the best way to go about things. And bringing this up and talking about it out loud now feels like a therapy session.
Good.
And I'm glad I kind of talked out. You didn't have to help me too much. I thought you would. But I'm going to go get the fucking swimming and get back in that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't eat the worst fucking food in the world.
I just don't eat it.
I just eat it fucking night. You know, I eat at 9 o'clock at night. I eat in the middle of the night. And I don't eat during the day. So it's all fucked. But I'm not happy with the way that I look. And I want to get healthier and feel better. So
can I give you some unusual advice?
Please.
That I lifted from Jordan Peterson, great Jordan Peterson.
Wait, the murderer?
No. He's a clinical psychologist.
Okay, okay.
Yeah. Not a murderer at all.
Was Jordan Peterson a murderer? Is that name? Or Scott Peterson?
Scott Peterson. And then there was also the Douglas Stone, whatever. There was some officer named Peterson, the one that ran away. He was a Peterson too. I forgot.
Okay.
I thought his name was Scott too, but maybe not. Jordan Peterson, the great Jordan Peterson, says that you need to set the bar lower.
Mm.
Because what people do when they're trying to get started is that they put the bar too high, and then they end up being like, so I'm just going to use this as an example. I have to swim 20 laps or I do nothing at all.
Right.
He's saying that's not how you should look at it, because you may scoff at 5 laps or 10 laps and go like, what's even the fucking point? I could do more than that, but it has to be at least 20 or bust, nothing.
That's how I feel. Like, right in there. I'm like, I got to do 20.
Set the bar lower, he says. He has patients that can't get the fuck out of bed because they're so depressed. And he says they won't set goals like, go outside for 5 minutes, because they just think that that's a silly, insignificant goal. Why would that be a goal for anyone? They think that's beneath them. So he's saying, if maybe all you can do today is walk down the hall and walk back to your room. Again, we're talking about people with severe mental issues. So for you, you know, you may not think that, like, you're like 10 laps. What the fuck is even the point of that? And I don't even know how long 20 laps takes you.
Honestly,
like,
not
20
that,
minutes, 30 minutes.
Yeah, it's not that long.
I'm not
at
a
all.
Swimmer, so
yeah, I don't take a lot. I don't take a lot of rest in between the laps at all. Like sometimes, I get a little winded, but sure. I've always been able to do 20 when I was really swimming before. Each day, I would do like one more lap. I'd do like 20, 21, 22, 23. Like I would start. And so yeah, 20 is kind of my sweet
and
spot.
And is 20 like? Okay, let me just show. Like, is it like? One, or is it like one, two?
You go like you go there and back, and that's two.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
So that's like each lap is like, I don't know how other people do it.
I don't know. I don't do swimming, so
no,
I don't know anything.
Fucking, it's a real like Olympic-sized swimming pool, so that okay. The one lap is going there to me. So.
Okay, is one length of the pool.
Yes,
gotcha.
Yes.
Okay, so maybe instead of saying, okay, I have to do 20 or I'm not going to go, that's not even worth it, maybe go like, I got to do eight. Let's do eight.
And that makes it easy, kind of.
Yeah, because like, you're like, I could do eight. And yeah. Then you start doing eight every day, and you're like, I could do fucking 12. I could do 20. You know, and just kind of work your way up. So kind of set the bar lower to just as a point of entry. And then after that, you can build up. Obviously, eight isn't going to be your goal forever. Yeah. But just to get yourself started, go like, fuck, I'll do eight. I could do that in 12 minutes. And you think, well, what's the point of doing 12 minutes? Well, 12 minutes will lead to 20 minutes, to lead to 30 minutes, you know, whatever.
That's a good point.
So set the bar just lower.
That's a good point. I'm glad you brought that up, because when I envision myself working out and doing these things and riding my bike and doing that, you know, like I'm thinking about when I was swimming, you know, every day in fucking 2020 when, you know, I quit Cox Media Group before I started here. And, you know, I was just fucking, all I had to do was fucking swim all day, you know, and I was in good shape. And I'm like, man, I was just, if I can't get back to that point, like, what the fuck? So when I used to ride my bike, I ride my bike all around town. I didn't have any fucking cares in the world and all this shit. Now it's like, I'm afraid to fucking get on my bike for some reason, because I'm afraid, I don't know how far I'm gonna be able to go. So I appreciate you bringing that up. It's really helped me. And yeah, I'm gonna go either today or tomorrow and get my $35 a month membership and get fucking going again.
Beautiful. So the moral of the story is just set your bar lower, folks.
It's low as fuck, but I got some sharp-ass goggles.
It helps, though.
Yeah.
It helps.
I'm going to do two laps.
Woo! All right, Seth, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Appreciate it, and we'll see you guys on the next one. Bye-bye.